Welcome to HN Pod, the daily podcast where we dive into the top stories and most fascinating discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and I am here with my co-host, Mike.
Hey everyone, it is great to be here for episode 473. Today we are looking back at the biggest stories that hit the front page yesterday, July 30, 2026. We have a really packed lineup today that perfectly captures the weird, wide variety of things the Hacker News community cares about.
We really do. Today we are talking about a massive geopolitical shakeup in the soccer world, with UEFA boycotting FIFA, a terrifying security teardown of those cheap TV streaming sticks you see all over Amazon, and GitHub finally releasing native support for stacked pull requests.
Plus, we will be looking at the latest in AI, including OpenAI pushing the price-performance frontier with GPT 5.6, and Google DeepMind bringing whole-body intelligence to humanoid robots with Gemini Robotics 2.
Let us kick things off with the top story yesterday, which pulled in over 900 points. It is a bit unusual for Hacker News, but it is a massive global news story. UEFA and its 55 national football associations have released a blunt statement saying they will not participate in FIFA competitions.
This is basically a full-blown civil war in global sports. The core of the issue revolves around FIFA president Gianni Infantino and his plans to essentially sell off or heavily monetize new World Cup formats in club competitions. The Hacker News comments were super interesting here because they immediately started analyzing the structural and economic incentives at play.
Exactly. A user named Bruno Borges pointed out that Infantino clearly wants to turn FIFA into a massive, highly profitable business model, similar to the NFL or MLS in the United States. But FIFA is technically a nonprofit, so the only way to squeeze billions out of it involves a lot of questionable, opaque operations.
And the community was quick to point out that UEFA is not alone here. CONCACAF, which covers North and Central America, also put out a statement rejecting FIFA's sell-off plan, though as some commenters noted, the CONCACAF statement was a bit more wishy-washy compared to UEFA's blunt refusal. One user joked that by the end of this, Infantino is only going to have a few federations left backing him, purely fueled by the unprecedented amounts of corruption that FIFA has historically turned a blind eye to.
The conversation inevitably turned to the failed European Super League from a few years ago. Some people were drawing parallels, saying this FIFA expansion might fail just like the Super League did. But it sparked this classic Hacker News debate about sports structures. You had American users arguing that a closed, salary-capped system like the NFL actually creates better parity, where any team can win on any given Sunday.
Right. And the European fans fired back that closed systems ruin the magic of the sport. They argued that the threat of relegation and the ability for an underdog like Bremen to occasionally topple a giant like Bayern Munich is what makes football a real sport rather than just a televised corporate product. But zooming out, the consensus was just a deep cynicism about large international organizations. Whether it is FIFA or the IOC, whenever you have billions of dollars and global event rights on the table, the rot just seems inevitable.
It is a fascinating intersection of money, politics, and sports. But let us pivot from global corruption to something that might actually be sitting in your living room right now. Our second story is a classic investigation from Krebs on security, titled, "Read This Before You Buy That TV Streaming Stick."
This one got a lot of traction, over 600 points. Security experts have been warning us for years about those generic Android TV boxes. You know the ones, the dirt-cheap H96 sticks you buy online that promise unlimited free streaming. We already knew they often secretly acted as residential proxies, renting out your home IP address to ticket scalpers or data scrapers.
But Krebs highlighted a new report from a security firm called BitSight that found something much wilder. These TV boxes are routinely spoofing themselves as mobile phones, pretending to be Samsung or Huawei devices, and silently clicking on ads on AI-generated websites. It is a massive, sprawling ad fraud operation.
The technical details in the article are wild. The malware on these devices is tied to a company in mainland China called the Fenghuo Group. They have built this massive infrastructure where they use a visual programming language called Blockly, which was originally designed to teach kids how to code, to let low-skilled operators drag and drop fraud routines.
Yes, and they use these routines to direct the infected TV sticks to visit sham websites filled with AI-generated articles and digital humans. The TV box mimics human browsing behavior, scrolls, and clicks the ads. And here's the craziest part. The box is smart enough to know when your TV is turned on. When it detects an active HDMI signal, it pauses the heavy ad fraud so it doesn't ruin your streaming experience and switches to being a low-resource proxy. When you turn the TV off, it goes back to full-blown ad fraud.
It is honestly brilliant in the most malicious way possible. They're pulling in an estimated $50,000 a day just from one of their older domains. But the Hacker News comments really zeroed in on the retail ecosystem that enables this. Users were incredibly frustrated that massive e-commerce platforms like Amazon, Best Buy, and Newegg continue to sell these devices despite repeated FBI warnings.
A commenter named Al Borland made a great point. They said the historical value proposition of a retailer was to vet products so consumers did not have to worry about buying dangerous junk. But the everything store model has completely destroyed that trust. They only stand behind a product enough to offer a refund, not to ensure it is actually safe to put on your home network.
Which led to a bunch of people praising Costco in the comments. People were saying Costco is one of the few places left where you can just buy something off the shelf and trust that it has been thoroughly vetted. It is a stark reminder that in 2026, if you are buying a $30 unbranded computer from a third-party seller to plug into your home network, you are basically inviting a botnet into your living room.
Absolutely. Keep your networks clean, people. Moving on to our third story, this one is for the developers out there. Stacked pull requests are now officially live in public preview on GitHub.
Finally! For anyone who has not used them, a stacked PR workflow is a way to break down a massive thousands of lines of code change into a series of smaller, dependent pull requests. Each PR builds on top of the previous one. It is a workflow that companies like Meta have used internally for years, but trying to do it natively in GitHub has historically been a nightmare of manual rebasing.
GitHub is rolling this out with a new command line extension, ghstack. It lets you independently review each layer of the stack and then merge everything in a single click. The community was super excited, but as always with Hacker News, the top comments immediately dug into the edge cases and bugs.
Yeah, a user named Math Armin pointed out that merging an entire stack is currently broken if your repository requires squash and merge along with strict review approvals. Basically, because squashing changes that commit hashes, the subsequent PRs in the stack lose their approval status and you have to get them reapproved one by one, which defeats the whole purpose of the one-click stack merge.
But what I loved about this thread is that a GitHub engineer actually jumped into the comments to explain exactly why this is happening. They talked about an internal GitHub system called CPRMC, which stands for Create Pull Request Merge Commit. This system evaluates if a PR is ready to merge by checking conflicts and rule evaluations.
Right, and the engineer explained that when you squash merge a stack, calculating the series of squashed commits and associating them back to the original reviews gets incredibly complex because the ancestor commits basically disappear. They admitted it is the top priority for the team to fix.
There was also a great side discussion about API support. People running custom merge queues wanted to make sure they could programmatically land these stacks. The GitHub team confirmed they built a brand new asynchronous API specifically for this, because processing a stack of 10 PRs often exceeds their standard 10-second global timeout. It is a great look under the hood at how hard it is to bolt a stacked workflow onto Git, which fundamentally was not designed for it.
Speaking of complex systems, let us talk about our fourth story. OpenAI just published a blog post titled "Advancing the Price Performance Frontier with GPT 5.6.
This was a really popular thread. OpenAI is continuing their trend of dropping highly optimized models. The focus here is not necessarily on a massive leap in raw reasoning, but on making frontier-level intelligence significantly cheaper and faster.
The Hacker News comments had a really practical take on this. A user named Godel Numbering dropped a classic quote from the advertising pioneer John Wanamaker, who said, "Half the money I spend on advertising is wasted. The trouble is, I do not know which half." The commentator applied this to AI, saying that half the money they spend on API calls is wasted on overpowered models, but separating the trivial tasks from the non-trivial tasks is incredibly hard.
That sparked a hilarious subthread, where someone joked that all you need to do is solve the halting problem to figure out which model to route your prompt to. Someone even posted pseudocode for an LLM-based halting problem oracle. It's that classic Hacker News nerdy humor.
But practically speaking, developers are getting really sophisticated with how they use these models. Users were talking about the GPT 5.6 Luna tier, noting that it is comparable to GPT 5.4 from a few months ago, but way cheaper.
people are building orchestration systems where they use an expensive model, like GLM 5.2 or Claude Opus, strictly for high-level architecture and planning.
Exactly. The expensive model acts as the manager, writing out detailed subtasks. Then they farm out those subtasks to cheaper models like Luna or Gemini Flash to actually write the boilerplate code, do the Git commits, and handle the repetitive work.
Though some developers warned about the dangers of context poisoning. If you use a cheap model to write documentation or comments and it hallucinates slightly, those subtle errors get baked into your codebase. Then, when you bring the expensive smart model back in later, it reads those bad comments and gets confused. It's a really interesting look at the new discipline of prompt engineering and agent management in 2026.
It really is an art form at this point. And speaking of AI agents doing work, our final story today takes that intelligence out of the cloud and puts it into the physical world. Google DeepMind announced Gemini Robotics 2, bringing whole-body intelligence to robots.
This is mind-blowing stuff. For a long time, robots were just pre-programmed for very narrow, repetitive tasks. DeepMind is changing that with what they call vision language action models, or VLAs. Gemini Robotics 2 can take a natural language command, look at its environment, and convert that directly into whole-body motor control.
The video DeepMind shared was incredible. They showed an Aptronic Apollo 2 humanoid robot. A researcher tells it to put a watering can into a green bin on a bottom shelf. The robot processes the command, walks over to the table, picks up the can, navigates across the room, crouches down, and places it perfectly. It is not just moving an arm on a fixed table anymore. It is coordinating its feet, its balance, and its hands all at once.
One of the DeepMind researchers who actually worked on the model popped into the Hacker News thread to answer questions. They talked about how unique the lab is because you can work on everything from frontier language models to weather prediction to physical robots all under one roof.
But of course, it wouldn't be Hacker News without a debate about the fundamental limits of the technology. A commenter brought up an article by Rodney Brooks, questioning how robots can ever achieve human-level dexterity when their physical sensors, like tactile feedback in their robotic fingers, are still so crude compared to human skin.
That kicked off a massive debate about the bitter lesson of AI research. Another user fired back, saying that modern robotics is not a hardware problem, it is an AI problem. They argued that the human body is actually incredibly suboptimal in 1,000 different ways, but our advanced brains salvage it. They pointed out that today's robots do not fail because their fingers are bad. They fail because they simply do not know how to perform the tasks yet.
And the proof is in the pudding. The DeepMind post actually included a video of the robot tying a knot in a garbage bag. Tying a knot requires immense fine motor control and spatial reasoning. Seeing a VLAW model execute that just by learning from data, rather than being hard-coded by an engineer, really feels like we are crossing a threshold.
It does. It feels like we are finally starting to see more of X paradox being chipped away. The hard things like playing chess were solved decades ago, but the easy things like walking across a room and tying a knot are finally being conquered by these massive neural networks.
It is a wild time to be alive, and a wild time to be reading Hacker News. That is going to do it for us today on HN Pod.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us and diving into the weeds on everything from global soccer politics to robotic garbage disposal.
We will be back tomorrow with another breakdown of the top stories. Until then, keep building, keep reading, and have a great day.